I want to read this morning, bring a meditation this morning from the 143rd Psalm, Psalm 143, reading from verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. For I am thy servant. And we'll end our reading. Verse 12. We pray the Lord will bless again the public reading of Holy Scriptures this morning. Someone described the Psalms, and or in the Psalms, that you find in the Psalms the anatomy of all parts of the soul. You have the inner experiences of a man. You really see the man as he is. If you think of the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cross is prophesied in the Old Testament. The events of the cross are described in the Gospels. The cross is preached in the Acts of the Apostles. The cross is explained in the Epistles. But what about the cross experienced? Well, you will turn to the Psalms if you want to find that. A psalm like Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me, and why art thou so far from helping me? Or a psalm like 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come into my soul. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. What was it like to be on the cross? Well, you need to read the Psalms to find the inner man and the inner experiences. And so it is with the Psalms. The Christian life is a battle. We battle with the old nature, and we battle with the old enemy. And in the Psalms, we see how a man feels, and just how he is, not outwardly. But we seem to be able to draw back the curtain and see the inside, and see how he really is and how he really feels. And that's what we have in this psalm. A servant of God. It's a prayer. It begins with the words, hear my prayer, O Lord. It ends with the words, for I am thy servant. So it's very clear that it's a prayer by a servant of God. It's considered or classed as one of the seven penitential psalms. I don't think there's that much by way of penitential nature to it at all. It seems to me more to be a cry. Just a cry on a prayer from a very needy soul, an overwhelmed soul, is the description we have in verse 4. My spirit is overwhelmed within me. And it goes on to say in verse 4 that my heart within me is desolate. Notice verse 4, two references to within me. And this is how the man is. My heart within me is desolate. My spirit is overwhelmed within me. And I believe it's a cry. We learn from this man how he really is. And we see how he really feels. He begins with the words in verse 1, hear my prayer. And then he says in verse 11, bring my soul out of trouble. Servant of God in great distress. Servant of God in trouble. David knew all about it. And so this morning I wonder where you are today. And how are you? And how do you feel? And from whence and what sort of a week have you came down from? Maybe you find yourself in great distress this morning. And it doesn't show outwardly. But that's just how you feel. In 1 Peter, Peter exhorts us to be sober and to be vigilant, for the adversary is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And in the psalm we come across, we find a man who knows all about the enemy and what it is to be under enemy fire. In Ephesians 6, we are exhorted to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand. The wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We cannot be sure of the events or the background to the life of David. It may have been that he was being pursued by Absalom or hounded by Saul, but it doesn't really matter. He knows all about the enemy. And he prays, give ear to my supplication. Verse 1. And he appeals, and he's praying, and appealing to the faithfulness of God to answer him, and upon the righteousness of God. And he says in verse 2, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. David is saying, he's not worthy. He's appealing to the mercy of God. But of himself, certainly, God has no need or under any obligation to answer his prayer. He just says, enter not into judgment with thy servant. There's the penitential element of the psalm. He's just a sinner. He's far from what he ought to be. But he's saying, in thy sight shall no man living be justified, just like any other man. But he appeals in the faithfulness and righteousness of God. When we pray today, we pray in a name that is above every other name. And we come in the worth and ground. We come because of another. And we stand and we come in Christ. And we're robed in his righteousness. And we come to God and draw nigh unto the Father by him. David, in these Old Testament times, he says, in thy faithfulness answer me. And in thy righteousness. He's appealing to the covenant-keeping God that he will answer his prayer. I want to just let you see for a moment, or try to help you to see, just the depths of despair that this man was in. You know, sometimes these psalms are in black and white, and I think you just maybe need to add a bit of color sometimes. And I want to give you an example. I'm thinking now of verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4, when you read them, look at them. The enemy has persecuted my soul, smitten my life down to the ground, made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. What a picture that is. Yet you know, curiously, a couple of months back, I met this man. I was speaking to him. A friend of mine from school days. We've been friends all our lives. Hadn't been speaking to him for some time. Caught up with him recently. And it was the first time for a while that we had a heart-to-heart conversation, like we used to have many a time. And I asked him how things were going, how he was, and all the rest of it. This is what he said. His words, not mine. He said, I just feel recently that the enemy has his heel on the back of my neck and he's taking great delight in trapping me into the ground. And he seems to take great pleasure in just rubbing my face in the dirt. And then he says, every time I feel I'm coping and I'm struggling and I'm picking myself up, and every time I feel I lift my head, I get whacked. Thump in the back of the head and down again. And I thought to myself, I said, have you been reading the Psalms? And he said, no. I said, you definitely haven't read, for the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He said, no. Smitten my life down to the ground. He wasn't familiar with the verse at all. And yet he just seemed to be saying it. He just seemed to be quoting it. Went on to tell me, battling with health, tests, and exploratory examinations and all the rest of it, and then treatment. Elderly parent needing a lot of attention, devoting so much time in that direction. Business, difficult. Increased competition that wasn't there before. Tighter margins. Harder to find work. All these problems besetting him. All accumulating. An elder in an assembly. Problems there. Great division. So much responsibility falling upon him. He's seeking to just take a stand on the things of this book and getting himself in trouble for it. And all these things together causes him to say, I just feel that the enemy has his foot on the back of my neck and he's trampling me into the ground. Notice what it says, the enemy hath persecuted my soul. Smitten my life down to the ground. Made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore, my spirit within me is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I wonder, could that be some in our meeting this morning? Maybe you're contending and struggling and battling with problems of one kind or another. And maybe this description would fit you in some measure. Physically this morning, you feel crushed, maybe. Emotionally you're drained, maybe. Mentally you're tired and disturbed and spiritually downcast. And you just feel like this man. Maybe there's been times in your life when you felt like this man. Maybe you've came through it. Maybe younger ones don't know anything about it this morning. Well, someday you might face this. And someday you might know all about it. David, he's an overwhelmed soul and it's a desolate heart. How did he cope? How do you cope in circumstances like this? Well, he says, I remember the days of old, verse 5. and I meditate on all thy works, and I muse on the works of thy hands. You know, I think verses 5 and 6 present to us a turning point in the psalm, or a turning point in this man's experience. It's as though he's thinking to himself, "Oh God, my help in ages past." He remembers, and he meditates, and he muses, and I wonder, does he think back of the patriarchs like Abraham and Jacob and Joseph, God's dealings with those men? I wonder, did he consider Moses and Joshua and the great men of God? And did he sort of strengthen himself and sort of pick himself up a little bit? You see, in this psalm, I think this is the psalm of the man who was down, but who prayed himself back onto his feet. Maybe he thought about creation, the great God of wonders. It says he remembered and he meditated on all thy works, and he mused on the works of his hands. And then it says this, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. I have a study Bible at home, and it puts a title in this psalm, and it takes the words of verse 10, teach me to do thy will. If I was to put a title in this psalm, for me, it's, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. For me, it's, my faith looks up to thee. Or similarly, at the end of verse 8, he says, I lift up my soul unto thee. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My faith looks up to thee. Or I lift up my soul unto thee. Or my faith, alternatively, my faith lifts up to thee. That for me is the crux of the psalm. That for me is the turning point of the psalm. This man, he's down. Oh, he's persecuted. He's heavy laden, isn't he? He's smitten. He feels defeated. Ah, but when he gets to the place where he lifts his gaze heavenward, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. Or where he says, I lift up my soul unto thee. I read somewhere during the week, faith is good at lifting a dead weight. I thought that was good. Faith is good at lifting a dead weight. I lift up my soul unto thee. That's what he does. In the day and time of trouble, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. If you're seeing the bands this week, if you go to see the bands this week, don't get taken up with the boys that are banging drums or anything. I just love to look at the banners, and I love to read some of the things it says in those banners, and I love those reminders of some of the great events of the Old Testament. I love to see Noah and the dove returning to Noah's ark, and I love to see the angels coming to Elijah and saying, arise and eat. And the walls of Jericho coming down. Or Moses at the burning bush. And Daniel in the lion's den. And all the great servants of God. But there's one that caught my attention one time. It was a servant of God looking heavenward with outstretched hands. And that for me is Psalm 143. I stretch forth my hands unto the servant of God, a needy servant of God. And out of all his distresses and out of all his troubles, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. And he's on the way back. I lift my soul unto thee. I tell you, when he gets to that place, he's on the way back. My faith looks up to thee. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, the old Pastor Mullen used to say that it contained five cries of a believer, or five steps for the believer in the storm. Trust in the Lord, and delight thyself also in the Lord, and commit thy way unto the Lord, and and to rest in the Lord and to wait upon the Lord. Well, I just want to draw your attention to five cries that this man makes. There might be more, but I just want to lift out five. Five cries that this man makes in the darkness. As he lifts his gaze heavenward, he really starts to pray, you know. From verse 7, he says, first of all, hear me speedily. Hear me. O Lord, my spirit faileth. You see, his spirit's failing. It's as though he's saying, he's almost gone. I'm nearly beat. My spirit faileth. And he pleads and he appeals to the God who will not fail. When our spirits fail, God won't fail. I think it's Spurgeon who said, mercy has wings. I like that. So hear me speedily. Yes. And God can move speedily. And he appeals unto God to hear him. And this is it. Hide not thy face from me. He needs to know that God's face is toward him. Hide not thy face from me. If God's countenance is toward him, he lives. Without God, he'll die. If God turns his back, he'll just be, as the verse says, like those that go down to the pit. Hear me. You see, I think this man lacks confidence. Certainly within himself. His first need is my spirit faileth, and his first need is to plead and that God will hear him. And it's required speedily. His first need seems to be confidence. Hear me. Then he pleads again and he cries again and he says, verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. There seems to be, he has a need of assurance. Cause me to hear. Sorrows and difficulties and problems. It's funny how it makes us go deaf, isn't it? People in their problems, they don't seem to hear anymore. And they seem to forget all those things that they have heard in the past. And they let their problems and difficulties get on top of them. When problems assail, we seem to lose our hearing. And this man prays and he says, cause me to hear. Cause me to hear. He says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. I think he's praying at night. I wonder, is he just praying for a good night's sleep? And he wants to be sure that he'll awaken in the morning. And he wants to know that God is with him. Remember a woman used to say to me, when she talked about how she was, she used to say, if I could only get a good night's sleep. Here's a man and he prays. And he says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. It's as though he take care of me during the night and then cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. That's how he wants to begin the day. And then he goes on to say, not only a need of assurance, but there seems to be a need for guidance. He says, cause me to know the way that I should take. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. I lift up my soul unto thee. If we don't know it, how can we walk therein? Cause me to know it. This man's seeking. Oh, what is the direction and what is the way in which I ought to take? Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. His trust is in God. If we rely on him, he'll not disappoint. In thee do I trust. Then he says, verse 9, he says, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Deliver me. There's a call for for God's providence. And there's a place that he needed to get to know the providence of God and to know the deliverance that he's crying out for. There's a place he needs to get to, and he says this, I flee unto thee. Hide me. Oh, the great old hymn says, O safe to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. And so sinful and so weary, my nine would I be. Thy blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. Call for a cry out in his lack of confidence. He's depending on God. He cries out in his need for assurance. Cause me to hear. Need for guidance. Cause me to know. Need for deliverance. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. Verse 10. An acknowledgement that there needs to be obedience. Teach me to do thy will. Teach me to do thy will. You see, if you can answer that question, it sort of puts a lot of other things in place. Is he in the will of God? Is he doing the will of God? Is he where God wants him to be? And if the answer is yes, my problems really don't seem that bad at all then. I'm where God wants me to be. If it's the enemy persecuting me, if he's going to smite my life down to the ground, if I have to dwell in darkness, whatever it might be, if it's the will of God, well, we can accept it. We'd be glad to be there. Oh, what a change it makes. What a different perspective. Surely God knows. Teach me, he says, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Others think that that should read, the good spirit, thy good spirit, shall lead me into the land of uprightness. God is leading me by the good spirit into the land of uprightness. God is leading me onto higher ground. And this is the way I have to take the path. This is the path that I have to take. So be it. God's leading me on. He sighed, says Spurgeon, for upland meadows of grace, the table lands of peace, and the fertile plains of communion. And to reach it, he had to be led. And he had to learn to let God do the leading. And the way might be long, and the road might be steep, and the conditions might be difficult. And so he prays, teach me to do thy will. Not only to know it, but to do it. Did you notice in the psalm the references that he makes to his soul? Right from the outset of the psalm, verse 3, the enemy hath persecuted my soul. Persecuted soul. Then he says in verse 6, my soul thirsteth after thee. He has a thirsty soul or a parched soul. And then we read in verse 8 of a lifted soul, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And that's what we all need to do in the day of difficulty. Just lift our hands unto thee and lift up our soul unto thee. As a persecuted soul and a thirsty soul and a lifted soul. And in verse 11, he says, quicken me for, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. We have a delivered soul. and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul. You see, when this man appeals heavenward, I think he becomes a more contented soul. When he recognizes that it's thy will, not mine, O Lord, teach me to say, that all of a sudden, the great difficulties, they just seem to, I believe, pale into lesser significance. God's here. God will bless. Just lift our gaze heavenward. Just appeal to Him. And let the Lord draw near and answer prayer. I want to close this morning by singing that great hymn, 255 from Praise Hymn.